Patriots offense just cannot seem to put one foot in front of the other when it comes to basketball.
Going to snuck up front and get to him. Sacked back at the 40-yard line.
Played a lot better than we did tonight. Flat out simple.
Meanwhile, that line breaking down again.
It really didn't come down to the play. It was just like, we just beat our ass.
Short drop, quick throw, good move. And despite hanging on to the shirt into the end zone goes Alan Lazard.
Came out, got an ass kick.
The runner did get the ball across the goal line. It is a touchdown.
We have to do better up front.
Four-man rush here. Is it flushed out again? Down he goes.
Yeah, it looks like the ball came out.
Maybe, yep.
By the defense. First down.
Been covered by the defense.
No, we got to get you back.
Rodgers the fake. Throw. Oh, staying inbounds. Yes, touchdown. Garrett Wilson.
Just got to take it on the chin and roll with the punches right now.
Jets 2-1. Patriots now 1-2. Jets dominate. Win it by a score of 24-3.
Afternoon show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart here with you until past 6 o'clock today. We got a lot to talk about. A disaster for the Patriots at the Meadowlands last night. Primetime look at everything that's wrong with this team. We saw it all up close and personal. All of the flaws on display with a big spotlight on them as Aaron Rodgers, the second straight quarterback to take this defense apart. The offense still very much stuck in the mud when it comes to moving the ball, really at all. I mean, they couldn't even run it last night. It was a total failure offensively from every way you look at it. And outside of the punting, there was really nothing to celebrate. And also, well, maybe the intro to the broadcast, which
Shut
a lot
it.
Of people said was maybe the highlight of the entire night. I'd say the highlight of the broadcast in general. I don't know if Andy Hart would agree with that, but yes, here we are reacting to a Patriots team that just 2 weeks ago seemed like not the bell of the ball or anything, Andy, but it definitely seemed like they were one of the teams that might surprise people this year. 2 weeks later, it seems like the season is unraveling.
Yeah, I'm going to say something that'll piss a lot of people off, but I kind of jokingly said it in the Six Rings postgame show after week one. 1-16 might be still in play for this football team because they are trending very quickly in the wrong direction. And I don't just mean tackling and blocking and all the fundamental technical aspects that suck right now. The coaches, the sort of air around the team, we talked about it yesterday that this was a Gerard Mayo culture pivotal week and turning point. And if that's true, they absolutely laid an egg and failed the test in a game that, I know we say this a lot in this business, wasn't nearly as close as the final score would indicate. They, as the players accurately assessed, absolutely got their ass kicked by the New York Jets. And they got some soul searching to do on this long week in a lot of ways. Not just, hey, how do I tackle? Hey, how do I block better? They got to figure out how to come together as a team because right now it's ugly.
Yeah, and it really came apart pretty quickly because week one against that Bengals team, they weren't perfect. I mean, we all remember coming in and talking about the game and how they ran the ball well and the defense was strong and they had better conditioning than the Bengals and some other things that were fine in week one. And you look at that and think, well, they can build off of that. But at the very least, they got the fundamentals down. They're tackling, they're blocking up the middle and making space for Ramondre Stevenson. Even when he did get hit, you know, he had some room after that to get yards. They were getting in the end zone. They were sustaining long drives. You didn't see really any of that. I mean, you didn't see anything that was working at all in the first 2 weeks, and not much was working. Hunter Henry, they tried to give him the ball a couple of times. Pop Douglas on offense got force-fed the ball and had a decent little game. But if you shut down the run with this team, they're mincemeat. They can't do anything. I mean, that's basically it. You're looking at a team that's so infuriatingly one-dimensional that if you take that one dimension away, it's over. I mean, it was over by halftime.
And we talked about that one dimensionality that, you know, there was sort of an unsustainability to it in that it was all yards after contact. It's not
right.
Like the line of scrimmage was being pushed downfield and, oh, you're 5 yards downfield before you even get touched. And then you mix in the fact that your superstar in the making running back, who has, I believe, gotten some of the attention he deserves for, through the first couple weeks. Now, don't look, but he's got a bit of a fumbling problem. And we actually saw the camera angles this time, which wasn't so much of a fumble as a robbery, a takeaway. Yeah. A Teddy Bruschi style, I want it more. Remember that against the Colts in Dominic
Yeah,
Rhodes?
Where they were falling down together. He just ripped it out of the guy's hand. I remember that. Yep.
And I thought at that time, that sort of symbolized the Patriots wanting it more, the more physical team wanting it more. And I thought last night, this sort of symbolized the Patriots team getting it taken from them, get it handed to them, and the other team just wanting it more and playing the game on its terms. And in some ways, there's no shame in that, because I know people wanted to bury the Jets after week one and praise the Patriots, but the Jets are a pretty talented football team with a pretty talented quarterback who looks like he's kind of hitting his 40-year-old stride in what he is as a player. Although, I'd also say, idiot Andy said, he doesn't move anymore. He looked pretty good on the move. He looked very good booting out. They were winning the boot game, right? When we boot, Jacoby Brissett's got a dude right in his face immediately. Mm-hmm. When they boot it out, he's just running and finds a nice receiver for like 12 yards and a first down, a tight end or something. So this was, you know, our guy Tommy Freeze Pops on WEEI.com put the ups and downs, and the only ups he had were the punter and the kicker. I agree with him. No one else, if you were a coach or a player, deserved anything but a thumbs down, because, you know, even Keon White, I thought, was close. He brings energy and effort and attitude and physicality. But even he was talking about, you know, his failures in letting Rodgers get outside the pocket and his failures in missed tackles. And I think, to me, that was the most alarming thing. The missed tackles. Like, what the hell happened? They went from a perfect tackling team to almost every first contact was broken. Almost nobody. And there were touchdowns. There were tackles for a loss that turned into gains for the Jets. It was cornerbacks, defensive linemen, linebackers, safeties, everybody. And that, I mean, I guess you might be able to just chalk it up to tired and short week and something like that, make excuses.
Okay, that doesn't, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Those running backs were rolling off of your tackles like water off a duck. I mean, that I've never seen anything like it. It was every single time, every single running play. You had no chance. You'd go up there and they'd, you know, get in position, and these guys, Breece Hall and the other kid, would just roll right off them like they weren't even there. It was unbelievable. I didn't think that would happen to this team. I honestly didn't. I thought that even in a short week, you got a young enough, conditioned enough team going up against 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers here that you'll be able to go in there and at the very least make him think twice on defense. And, man, I mean, Geno Smith had a good game against you. Rodgers was better, I thought. I mean, it was very sort of surgical, it seemed like. There was never any point where it seemed like Rodgers was really in distress and that the defense was really putting anything on him. They didn't have one 3-and-out last night. The Jets did not go 3-and-out one time in that entire game. How are we gonna pump up the defense on a night like that? Like, they didn't score 40 points. You know, it wasn't like a Saints win or anything. But if you can't even get them to go 3-and-out one time in a 4 quarters of football, that is a dominating performance. You got dominated on both sides, 100%.
This is not great.
Not great. And really, the only thing that stopped the Jets early were penalties. They had a couple holding calls that sort of derailed a couple drives. Other than that, there was that one point, I think Rodgers was like 12 of 12, and his first incompletion was because Garrett Wilson was just out of bounds catching the ball on the sideline. There was, I mean, this was a systematic, and the Jets were playing on a short week too, right? I know they're at home, and I saw some Patriots fans trying to rationalize, this is a classic road team Thursday night performance. Okay, you can chalk it up to that. You can continue to chalk these things up to whatever you want. I think it's more of this team's got some issues, and first and foremost, we know where it starts. It starts the same place we've been talking for months and months and months. The offensive line, that issue that Gerard Mayo kept telling us was overblown, is down to seventh and eighth stringers, but it almost doesn't matter because the first stringers aren't very good, and then the backups are worse, and that derails everything they're trying to do offensively.
Yeah, that was that I think is really where you have to start. Not in terms of what was the most disappointing, because I don't think people were necessarily disappointed by the bad O-line play. People were expecting it. I think more people were disappointed by the defense. But in terms of what was a bigger problem, what ended up sinking their ship last night, I mean, it was – you felt bad for Brissett by the end of the first quarter. Like, he was getting folded backwards over his legs, and it was just like, you know, like, come on. Somebody stand up for this guy. And he's a tough guy, you know. He kept bouncing back up and getting in that huddle and trying to put something together. And, man, I mean, it would not happen for him. And I can't – I hate to keep saying this, but, you know, we talked about this yesterday. The New York Jets had a bad offensive line last year, too. And you know what they did? They went out and addressed it. They traded for a tackle. They signed a tackle. They drafted a tackle. Now, I'm not saying you had to do all of that, because you couldn't have done all that and also drafted Drake May. You would have had to go back or something, and if you wanted to get a left tackle, they got Fanau or whatever at 11th overall. Fashanu, excuse me, at 11th overall. So, I mean, you would have had to finagle some things, but you could have done the rest of that and still drafted Drake May and still had plenty of cap space and all that other stuff, and you decided not to. You decided to just go with right tackles who were one step out the door of the game, a right tackle who was, you know, Fashanu's teammate at Penn State, and really nothing else. You know, you picked up some guys off the waiver wire. One of them got in last night, that giant guy, which, by the way, I'm interested in DeMontre Jacobs and what happens with him, just for like the scientific experiment of either you got this diamond in the rough guy who's 6'9", 400 pounds, whatever he is, and he's good, or you have a guy that big who sucks, which I think is also equally an entertaining prospect to watch on a Sunday going forward, a giant guy who just keeps getting pushed over. Like, that's funny, but that's about where we are with this team here. It's really, you know, like there's nothing to feel good about from that game.
So last night we took a lot of calls, and I want to thank all the callers that called into the Six Rings postgame show. I did not expect the lines to be lit like they were after midnight, but apparently being upset about a game makes it difficult to sleep, so instead you call Fitzy and Hart. Appreciate
I'm not
all.
Surprised by that. That was that kind of game. It was that kind of game where you call in and you're like, I got to vent about this because this season may not be, you know, like 2 weeks ago I was thinking this season might be something special, or at least something
special.
Surprising. Maybe not special, but yeah, you know, maybe there's something here. This could be a 500 team. What a turnaround that would be. And now that's starting to fly out the window.
It's out the window, and it flew away, and it's hard to see. Like, it's gone. Don't even think about getting it back. But some of them, at least one or two callers, were sort of rethinking the offseason and the draft process. And I don't think this applies to you, because I don't think you were in love with the quarterback position. But seeing how this is unfolding before us, do you retroactively go back and prioritize tackle in the draft? Like, would you become a Joe Alt guy, I guess, is my question, because there were some people that are like, look at Joe Alt, he's kicking ass out with the Chargers. Would you want to do that? Whatever. Does this reconfigure the way you look at the draft?
Not the draft, no. I would have gone much more aggressively after the tackles who were out there in free agency, or maybe tried to swing a trade or something like that. I would have gone wide receiver, and I said that at the time. You know, I was thinking there's a lot of good wide receivers here, or at least guys who were very productive in college and seem like they maybe translate well into the modern NFL game. And it just, you know, the league agreed. There was a ton of guys who went in the first round, a bunch of guys in the second round. Like, there's a lot of wide receivers who got drafted last year, and I thought getting one of the elite ones of those guys, that could maybe be a transformative thing. You can fill in an offensive line. You can patch that over with a veteran for a year or two. I don't think you need to get some foundational guy there with that. I was more looking to upgrade the playmakers on the offense, and I think you could have, you know, address the tackle in a long-term way somewhere else down the road. I didn't think that had to happen last year, even if you'd passed up on Drake May.
Would you go to bait early? You didn't see Drake May running for a first down and then a fourth down where he moved his feet a little bit, boom, hits Pop Douglas over the middle. That didn't excite you?
No, that was great. I was doing backflips in my living
room. Feel your energy.
It was pretty, I mean, it was good to see him out there at the very least.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a taste of things to come. And, you know, in both ways, he'll run for first downs, he'll throw for first downs, and he's going to get rock bottomed or whatever suplex or whatever he needs to show that he can take big hits and get up like his veteran leader is doing right now. But I actually liked it. I'm with you. Like, it just starts the process. And I don't think it actually means anything for this week necessarily, but it starts the process. It shows, to me anyway, that those that are dreaming of, well, you're not playing him till Christmas, I think you're wrong. He's playing already in week three. That means he's starting sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that timeline got moved up a bit yesterday, and that not because I think Brissett's going to be able to, you know, be tapping out or anything like that, but he did. He's getting banged up. You can see it. And oh, yeah. Eventually it's just going to make more sense to put the kid out there. So there you go. By the way, I am live in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice. Shop deals built for you on the New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Boston Red Sox. If you're watching on Twitch, we have a camera problem down here. That's the reason why you can't see me right now. You can see Andy in his dorm room over at Tufts.
This is payback for last night. No, we don't need any stinking cameras on our can. He got enough airtime last night. It's all heart all the time.
That's true. That is, it's a trade I'll make. That's what we're talking about here. But that was, yes. I mean, listen, who am I to argue with the great people over at NFL Films? They seem
to be blind,
very astute deaf, judges something. Of character and of takes, I think. Both of those things. Mm. So, yeah, we can get into that a little bit later.
This one hurt. Patriots offense just cannot seem to put one foot in front of the other when it comes to basketball.
They really couldn't. And you know what? The take continued to be to ring true all throughout the game. I don't remember what the New York guy said, but it was not the fan, right? It was EEI, and it was not the fan. It was their ESPN station, I think, right?
I didn't see it. I missed the whole thing. When did it happen?
Oh, you missed the whole thing, huh?
I
can tell you exactly where it was on the Amazon broadcast. It was at 1:07 and 19 seconds. And I know that because I paused it and sent it to all my friends, all three
you
of them.
Egomaniac loser.
I mean, come on.
Good Lord.
You know, it's the NFL Films. It's a big deal. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines for you here, Patriots fans. I know a lot of you want to vent. A lot of you did last night, and we have room for you to do it again here right now. The biggest disappointment last night, I think we both probably agree on this, Andy, but what do you think it was?
The tackling. You know, if you're going to narrow it down to one aspect of the game, the tackle.
Defense in general is what I was going to say, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, defense was not good, but if they tackle better, I think they'd be better. Like, that was a very granular part of their failures on defense, their failures on third down. The touchdown, you know, you could have tackled Lazard at, like, the, what was it, the 8-yard line, 10-yard line, and he just rips his way free to get through, and I wasn't sure. That's one thing I thought maybe we could count on, is that Tavai and Peppers and Duggar and Jonathan right. Jones, and these are tacklers. And apparently now I have nothing to count on, because I don't feel good about anything. Actually, Bryce Behringer, I feel good about, because Joey Sly, there's missed kicks coming. I have concerns about that. So really, your punter is your best player, and that tells you exactly where you are as a football team.
Yeah, the defense, I think, was the biggest disappointment in terms of what the expectations were. But I'd say in terms of what, like, going forward and what this season was supposed to be and now what it looks like it's going to be, I might change my vote to Ramondre Stevenson, honestly. Like, he did have two good, pretty good weeks. But to see him fumble all 3 weeks, fumbled in all three games, like, he's batting 1,000 when it comes to fumbles, which, yep. I mean, people are pining for the days of Bill Belichick. If that's something you really like, then this guy's on the bench for at least a week or two here. He's not going back into those games. You fumble that much on a Belichick team, you're coming out of the game, maybe for more than just that game, too. So, like, that, ask Stephen Ridley. Like,
yeah, but they don't have a backup.
I know they don't. That's Antonio the problem. Gibson, like, probably, Michael yeah. Hasty, or like, Hasty, or they call, what's his face?
Kevin
up off
Harris.
The, Harris up off the practice squad. Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not saying I agree with it, but to see Stevenson go out like that, get bottled up like that, and turn it over, that, you know, like, if that, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. If the offensive line gets run down so much that they can't even move the ball on the ground, they don't have anything else. And it's not sustainable to assume that Ramondre Stevenson can do this all year with this kind of workload. Running backs are getting injured all over the league right now. This is bad. Like, this is a bad situation to be in.
It's absolutely, and it's when you're one-dimensional, and it's when you're too reliant on one guy, and
yeah,
when you don't really have, you know, alternate pitches, secondary pitches, right? They have him, whatever you want to call it, whether that's a fastball or a changeup in modern football, that's what they have. And if you put down a different finger, they're just going to shake it off. Now, there's also something to be said where they didn't really establish the run early in a way that they probably should have. And even Alex Van Pelt has admitted and acknowledged that the way they started that game might not have been the best approach, to go three and out really quickly and then give the ball back to Rodgers against a Jets defense that has been struggling to run to stop the run. And, you know, we're going to run the ball. That's our identity. All this bravado that we've heard from Gerard Mayo in this offense, I didn't even think they ran the ball. Then they got into the cute stuff. We're going to get Demario Douglas involved.
Right.
Wee, whoopee, yippee, happy, whoopee. He can be happy now.
I thought he looked pretty good. Like, honestly, he got the ball. He made some moves. He picked up a first down or two. Like,
I was happy
with that. I mean, they got to incorporate other things here. Other things have to work. But he proved that if you give him the ball, he can be somewhat productive with it.
Absolutely. And
that's a step up from everybody else. I mean, come on.
I mean, the running game has been productive. You're right about the fumbles, but the running game has been productive. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, I said this to Fitzy last night. So I look at the stat sheet, and Austin Hooper and Hunter Henry combined for two catches for 19 yards, I believe. Should they bitch this week? Should they? I don't even know how I'm supposed to, you know, prove myself if I don't get the football. Like, should they bitch? And now Alex Van Pelt has to feed
them. It clearly works.
If you bitch about your contract, you get paid. If you bitch about your touches, you get touches. So,
or you get traded.
Just bitch about things. I want cake. I'm going to bitch about cake for an hour and see if a cake shows up courtesy of Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt.
Well, listen, if things keep going this way, the guys who are doing the most bitching may end up getting traded. I mean, this is, you know, Hunter Henry doesn't like what's going on here. Like, he may not want to play here. That's Jonathan Jones, you know, our buddy who we talked to on Mondays. His name's popped up already as a guy that if the Patriots season really comes apart and they start looking for draft capital, I mean, listen, I wouldn't. I think that you're not that far off, but, you know, games like last night have me reconsidering this timeline of this rebuild a little bit because, you know, you got a bunch of holes still on this roster, and the only one you really filled was a quarterback, and that's still to be determined if that's going to work. You know, you don't know that right away. Speaking of the quarterback, Gerard Mayo was asked about the offensive line and if that made him hesitant to want to put in Drake May, and I thought this answer was interesting, Brian, if we have it.
Well, like I said, in the second half, you know, I felt like our offensive line, they just weren't blocking the way they did at earlier parts of the game. It definitely was something that I thought of personally, but at the same time, I thought it was too good of an opportunity for him to go out there and get some experience.
All right, so they weren't blocking the way they were earlier in the game. I don't know what game he's talking about.
Wasn't
that game last night. They never blocked well, I didn't think.
They haven't blocked well all year.
They really haven't. I mean, when it comes to pass blocking, they certainly have not. And that was an interesting way to answer that. A lot of people online, and I think, you know, I heard some callers to you guys last night, don't think that Mayo should have put May in that game. And I think there's a big divide right now among Patriots fans as to whether or not they should have done that last night. I am perfectly and firmly in the camp of, yes, put him in the game and get him some reps and get him out there and let's get this show on the road here with Drake May. But I feel like a lot of Patriots fans are not. And even though I don't agree with it, I do understand it. We'll get into more of that right after Brian Frazoco, who produced that tremendous montage in the beginning. Bravo, Brian, by the way.
Bravo.
That's the first montage I think he's ever made. And it was very, very good. So well done there. He'll tell you what's trending. And when we come back, should Mayo have kept May on the bench last night? We'll discuss with you at 617-779-7937 next. That would have been a tough way for the Drake May era to start in New England, I think. First throw, an interception, but it was not intercepted. Despite how happy that would have made everybody at being a Duke guy out there, which I did not even remember them talking about that. But, yeah, it was not the most auspicious start for Drake May, but he did calm down, did put a drive together, didn't get any points or anything, but looked somewhat serviceable, at least compared to Jacoby Brissett. We played just a minute ago Gerard Mayo talking about his thought process and why he may or may not be more likely to put Drake May in now because of the offensive line. He said it was a good opportunity to do so. Where do you land on this, Andy? Do you think it was the right thing to put him in that game? Should his first start be, or his first appearance be a start? Is this just the way it's going to have to be going forward? Should they have kept him on the bench?
No, I liked that he played. I don't think his first action should just be a start. I like kind of easing into these things and breaking the seal and getting a feel. And he's been on the road. He's been in front of a crowd. He's been, you know, near an interception. He's been hit. I think there's value in all of those things building towards whenever he starts and whenever this becomes his team. But as far as it being the right time, that's like only they know that with whatever this plan is they have and, you know, protecting him, developing him, that whole thing. Because I thought I saw enough in the preseason to say he's ready to play. So for me personally, A, he'd already be playing, but B, I wouldn't have had any fear. And that's where I get into the whole thing. And I tweeted this out earlier, and a lot of fights have sort of broken out on my timeline that have sort of taken over. But the people that don't want to play Drake May right now, they want to wait because the line stinks.
Right.
Do you think the line is going to be better in November? Like, what leads you to believe there's going to be any significant improvement? I think the offensive line is going to stink all year long, whether it's Lowe and So back out there. I mean, they were bad in week one against the run. They were bad again. Jacoby Brissett's been pressured basically, what, 48% of the time or more in every game he's been in? So they're a coin flip to protect the quarterback, basically, at this point. That's what they are. They're just a literal coin flip. Are they going to get some random body that's going to fix it? Like, where my expectation is they're going to continue to deal with injuries, and if anything, they may be worse later in the year. So,
yeah. I mean, they're already like seven tackles deep here. I mean, right. this is a dire situation already, and we're already in week three, and I think that's exactly right. Like, if it was one group that was not very good, you could make the argument, all right, well, they might get better over time, but this is not happening that way. It's not developing that way. The scrubs that you had starting are now all getting hurt or quitting football or whatever it is that they're doing, and now you're stuck with these guys who you picked up off the scrap heap. You're probably going to have to go back to that well at some point, you know, and wait for maybe a trade or something to happen, someone to get cut from another team, that type of stuff. I mean, this is what happens when you choose to go that way, and that's, by the way, the only way that Elliott Wolf ever talked about being aggressive in the offseason. You remember that? He was like, well, we're planning to be very aggressive when cut day comes and we can start going for those waiver claims. And it's like, that's when you're going to start being aggressive, Elliott? Right. Like, you know, there's other times where that probably would have been a better strategy. Like, I don't know, free agency, that type of thing. Like, be aggressive there. That would have maybe worked out better than
picking up a bunch of the draft,
too. Yeah, I mean, listen, you're picking third, so I don't know. I mean,
No. I mean the second round. There was a run on tackles. Sure. And if you had decided, I absolutely need to leave the first couple rounds of this draft with a quarterback and then a tackle, and you had a list, you could have been more aggressive, right? They didn't. They weren't. They apparently thought Chukwuma Okorafor, or he. I don't want to say they. He. I want to put this on Elliott Wolf because it felt quite definitive that was his move and his decision. He thought, or at least expressed, that Chukwuma Okorafor could start at left tackle. He can't. I don't know if Caden Wallace can play left tackle. So far, it's not great. He can't line up. He holds all the time. He's giving up sacks. Like, it's sort of everything is bad when he is over there. Now, maybe he'll get better. Maybe he'll develop. We'll see. But they are so bad on the line. And across the board, you saw David Andrews get run over. Like, I've maybe not seen him get run over very often in his career. And he got called for a cheap hold, which I don't think he did. He was a speed bump. The guy ran him over. But this is across the board. I don't think Laden Robinson's been good. I don't think any of them. Mike Onwenu had
another disappointing game for Onwenu. I'd say right. Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So my point is, if you're waiting till it's more like ready or more accept, then you're waiting till next year. You're not doing it this year because it's not going to be better. It's not so.
Or you wait for a less intense defense. I mean, the Jets have a good deal. They have a good front. They have a pretty good pass rush. San Francisco does.
And that's what I agree with.
The Dolphins maybe don't, so maybe that's when you deploy it. But like
that's why I've said from day one that week five was you get past these defenses. You get past these defenses that could give you problems. Give them a month to watch. And I thought he would get mop-up duty. I wasn't sure the Jets would be mop-up duty. I thought San Francisco might be the mop-up duty time.
Oh, yeah.
He might get both. He may play again this week. And did you notice that Gerard Mayo said under consideration in terms of will practice reps be altered this week? He didn't say yes. He said under consideration, which, you know, 30%, does 30% become 35 or 40%? You also, raw numbers are going to have more practice reps because they have extra time. They have, you know, what do you call it, the extra Monday that they're going to have potentially.
Yep.
So even if you don't increase the practice reps percentage, you're going to increase the reps just because they have an extra day of work. I think this is all falling into place nicely for Drake May, Skylar Thompson, Gillette Stadium, week five. Let's go.
Yeah, and that's probably what you're going to end up seeing if you don't see it earlier than that. I think there's another vocal aspect of the Patriots fan base right now that says enough with Jacoby Brissett. We've seen enough of him. He's also getting destroyed out there.
Which is mean.
Let's try somebody else. Are they? Like, I mean, he didn't even throw for 100 yards, Andy. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You just keep throwing him out there? That seems mean.
Now, you think it's his fault?
Not necessarily.
Do I need to do my list?
Do I think Drake May could have gotten more than 100 yards last night? Probably, yes.
For which team?
That's a good point. I think for the Patriots, but also maybe if you're for the other team, sure.
His first throw, you're going to see those. I told you, in practice, there was one of those very similar play, just like a quick sticks, turnaround, whatever, and he hit Kyle Duggar in stride, headed the other way for a touchdown like you would not believe. Those are coming, mm-hmm. so...
I'm sure they are. But honestly, if there's touchdowns also coming with it, then I'll roll the dice on that. Because I think myself and a lot of other people's expectations over these last 2 weeks are starting to change dramatically. I don't think it's really about winning. You know, if you ever did think that, I know you didn't. But
I didn't.
If anyone ever did think that, they're probably reconsidering that here on the day after this game. Because that was ugly. It was ugly all the way around. And it's a Jets team that people weren't super impressed by. I mean, that was an ugly loss to the Niners and then a not super impressive win over the Titans. That was a pretty impressive win over the Patriots last night, no question. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls, and we'll talk a little bit about the very excellently produced and well-casted Amazon pregame show from last night. That's coming up next.
Tell you what, a lot of text messages last night. Not bragging, just saying. No, I'm bragging. I was not sure what they were going to do. I thought there was a pretty good chance, Andy, that they would box one of us out. I didn't know who it would be. I honestly, if we're being honest here, and I am for 1 second, I figured it would probably be you. I figured that you, because you were dressed a little better than I was that day. You had your red Jimmy Fund shirt on. And as we know from the midday show, the height of fashion in the sports world is those blue and or red button-up polo shirts with the Jimmy Fund logos on them. And I was just wearing a T-shirt. So I figured it was going to probably be you, as you seemed, maybe a little more camera-ready from the wardrobe. But apparently, the people at NFL Films looked at the footage and decided that I was just maybe a little more camera-ready, maybe a little more credible. I'm not sure. I can't tell you what the thought process was. But it was an honor to be on that. And maybe next time, Andy. Maybe next year on the Thursday night game, it'll be you.
Yeah. Or maybe it was just a bad broadcast. The rest of it kind of sucked, too, so they don't know what they're doing over there.
I like that little intro thing where it's like they bust into the party and they're all dancing around. Taylor Rooks is dancing with Richard Sherman, and they're all throwing stuff around. I thought that was I enjoyed that. I thought that was all right. I guess I'd never seen that before, the actual Thursday night, like very beginning, because I didn't know when this thing was going to run.
You were watching the whole damn thing frame
by frame. I watched are you kidding me? Of course I was.
Arkan started tuning in at like 6 p.m.
Yeah.
As soon as our show
like,
ended.
What's going on?
Like, all right,
what
am I going to get on?
7 o'clock? Why? You can't do an extra hour here. Stuff like that doesn't happen for old host one that often, so I was happy to see it. But I do think we did say yesterday, whoever they use, that's going to establish the hierarchy in the show.
Your
and
host,
unfortunately,
one?
Host one. Yep. I maintain my my title of host one.
I bow but, down to you, host one.
Thanks.
'Tis your show, the afternoon show.
For how much longer, I guess we'll find out. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a lot of you waiting patiently to talk about this game. Let's go ahead and start with our good friend Tony in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, you know, I told you guys earlier, they'll be clamoring for Belichick come October. You talk about a plan. Mayo keeps talking about a plan. They don't have a plan. They didn't make one adjustment at halftime. That was pathetic in itself. We all know Brissett's limited. But let me ask you guys a question. They put May in. He drives them down to the 10-yard line. They got three timeouts in their pocket. They don't even try for a touchdown. Like, you tell me why. Why did they put this guy in? If they won't let him just finish it off, get something positive out of it.
Yeah, it's a garbage time thing. I don't know. I think there's sort of an unwritten rule there. I mean, listen, you don't have to abide by that if you don't want to. And I don't think that they necessarily should feel like they're beholden to the Jets or the unwritten rules in a rebuilding year where they're trying to get their rookie quarterback some reps. I wouldn't have had a problem if they did that, but I don't know. I just think that it would have been fine, I guess, to see him do that, but I don't know if it necessarily would have made much of a difference. Like, you're out there in garbage time. This is what garbage time is. We're not going to make a whole special show for you to go out there and get your first touchdown there, Drake. Like, that's not what that game was about. That game was about you're getting your ass kicked, and you have to go out there and see what that's like.
Yeah, I would not have taken timeouts or gone for the touchdown. If he gets a touchdown, that's great. I'd feel good about it, but to me, that's kind of... I don't know if it's bad karma. Like, now I'm running extra plays in the game, and I feel like it's, what if I get one of my guys hurt or one of their guys hurt? Like, that's almost running time. You know how a lot of high school sports go to running time in, you know, fourth quarter, second half, depending on the score? To me, that was borderline running time, and you put your backups in. I want to see Drake May. Like, I like the idea to get Drake May reps, but I'm not spiking the ball and running up and calling timeouts. And I'm just taking the plays that are available. And if we score, that's great. If we don't, we do what we did and we just hang our head and walk away and go look for the goat Aaron Rodgers to hug.
Yeah, didn't love that. Didn't love the old waiting around for the goat. Like, don't call him that. I know you probably, with your friends, you talk about who the greatest quarterbacks are, and he's probably in the conversation. But we're a little sensitive to that here in New England, I would
think. Yeah, he probably should know better. Have a little bit of awareness there. But I would say for him, that's probably a goat, right? Or Patrick Mahomes. That's kind of who you're trending towards stylistically, right? You want to be one of those guys that rolls out and can throw off platform and arm angles and the things that Aaron Rodgers started and Patrick Mahomes is now doing. That is, I don't think Drake May is trying to model himself after Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Like, I'm sure he acknowledges their greatness, but in his world, it's probably more about those guys.
Yeah, speaking of that, our good friend Tommy Freespop's down there in New Jersey last night, and he tried to get Aaron Rodgers to talk to him, and it didn't go great. It didn't go great for old Freespops. I wonder if it was because Aaron Rodgers was confused by the fact that Freespops looks to be both 50 years old and 17 years old, as was pointed out by one of our very astute Twitch chatters, and that's true. I mean, you see him coming towards you, all of a sudden you're a little confused. You're like, Why is this old man slash young man coming towards me? What does he want? How old is he? What's his deal? That may have been going through Aaron Rodgers' mind at the time, but let's take a listen to Freeze Pops getting blown off here by Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron, what type of advice would you give Drake May?
So he walked off mid-sentence, and that's where you hear Freeze Pops kind of just trail off and then says that's a private conversation as he's 8-10 feet off the microphone, off the podium.
Look here, sir. Weird. I mean, young man. I mean, whatever you are.
But it's also Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You know, Freeze Pops looks weird in terms of age. Is he young? Is he old? And Aaron Rodgers is just Aaron Rodgers. It's like everybody's psychoanalyzing the meeting with Salah on the sideline. Is he pissed? Is he not hugging him? Did he just say two scores? Do they like each other? Do they hate each other? I don't know. I don't think Aaron Rodgers actually connects with anybody.
I thought that that non-hug on the sideline was hilarious. I thought that was so funny. I watched it over and over and over again. I thought that was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a football game. He's running up, big smile on his face. Robert Saleh, you could not have deflated him more than you did by rejecting his hug on the sideline in front of everybody. I mean, it was the only game in town. It was the only game anyone was watching, and everybody saw that. That was so funny.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a lot of respect for Robert Saleh.
Or anyone. I would agree with that.
Yeah, or anyone is probably a fair point. That is also a fair point, but I don't think he has absolutely any respect for Saleh and his coaching and his style and all. And he knows, wait, you suck when I don't play. That's you. I'm the one that matters in this relationship because you stink without me. You've proven that with other players. And yeah, Brian, you're right. It's also a little bit of who Aaron Rodgers is. I don't think he respects very much authority. I think that's why he and Belichick have a little thing, because I think they both push back against authority and don't have a lot of respect for other people.
Yeah, that sounds about right. We're going to take a quick break here. We have more of your phone calls to get to, which we'll do at 617-779-7937. We even have a line or two open for you right now, so jump on if you want to react to this Patriots debacle here in New Jersey against the Jets last night. Well, big part of that, Ramondre Stevenson, who was, as far as the run game's concerned, everyone was expecting him to be the guy they leaned on. He had a rough night, fumbled again, and the run game contained pretty easily. So now what? We'll get into that with your phone calls next.